When I was on holiday, I heard this fantastic proverb. It says this: the church is far and the road is icy. The pub is further, but I'll tread carefully. It's a Russian proverb. I just thought it's really funny. So it's obviously just me. But if you'd like to turn to Micah 4 as by means of introduction, I'm not sure what page that is. I'm sure someone could shout it out to me. What's that? 932. That's 932 in the Red Bibles. And I'm going to use this as means of introduction before I begin to move on to Exodus, which I'm going to look about God's presence. And so Micah 4 says this is also reflected in Isaiah 2 as well. It says exactly the same verse. And this is what it says: in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills and peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the law from Jerusalem. And it goes on over the next few verses, which you can read yourself. But the Lord has been really speaking to me over the last few years about this passage, and particularly recently, he's really illuminated it and really brought it to life. And the first thing about this is in the last days. And as you all know here this morning, we are living in the last days. We're living in the time between when God ascended into heaven and when God will return eventually to come and call us back to be with him when he restores heaven and earth. But this is what he says: the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills and peoples will stream to it. And what I love about this imagery, what I love about this picture, is that the mountain of the Lord is going to be chief among the mountains. It's going to be this mountain that goes up into the sky. You won't be able to see the top of it. Because God is restoring his authority in this world. That's what's going to happen. His authority hasn't gone away, but he's going to restore it to his people. It says, many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. And what the Lord has spoken to me through this is it's an invitation to his people to come to the mountain. Come, let us go. Who is it? Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord. And it's a call to God's people, it's a call to you, it's a call to me, to start walking towards God's mountain. Because up in God's mountain, he will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. And so one of the reasons we're going to have the gathering, as well as a number of other things in the church, is that we can gather together, that we can worship together, and we can put our posture towards the mountain of the Lord. And when God's people come together, he will teach us his ways. Why? So we know where to walk. If we don't know his ways, we're not walking his way. That's good, isn't it? If we don't know his ways, we're not walking his way, are we? And there's no point in me coming up here telling you, oh, let's go there. We've got to hear from God. There's no point in doing anything unless we hear from Jesus himself. And so if you're asking where we're going this season, where are we going as a church? We're not going this way, that way, that way. We're going this way. We're going to pray to the Lord. We're going to seek his face. We're going to find out what he wants. We're going to listen to him. And you might be wondering on a Sunday sometimes recently why the worship band has become less. It's because we don't want to get anything in the way of God speaking to us. And so this season between now and Christmas, we stripped it all away so that we become before the Lord. It's just very simple. It's very straightforward. We've got to engage with God. We've got to engage with Jesus. There's no point otherwise, is there? You might as well go home. What's really exciting, though, is the history of this church, as Rob brought up. This church has been bought on a foundation. If you look on the core, one of the core books, it tells you about the history of this church. And a good few years ago, this church was sending people out all over the nation. It was sending people out, which started up Sunday schools all over Ireland. Can you imagine that? And what are we doing now? We've got a kids club beginning to send, reach the children. St. James's Gate was the place of the beginning of pilgrimage all over Europe. And I believe the Lord wants to uncap the well of this church. And I believe the Lord wants to undo that thing which is holding over the top of the well, because there's been much prayer soaked into the foundations of this ground. And the Lord is calling those prayers back into his throne room. And when I was praying before the service, I wasn't praying, I was kind of staring. I just saw this picture of this well being capped, uncapped, and the water beginning to come through the floor and begin to fill up and then drip out and then fill up and drip out until the river became one lake across the city. And I believe God wants to do that. But God's promises only happen when we pray. And so if people are saying, the Lord told me this has never happened, I'll tell you, the way for it to happen is to pray. And next week I'm going to tell you about one of the areas we're going to do for prayer on a regular basis in the church, so that we begin to put in the infrastructure to capture God's heart, and then we as a people can walk in his ways. And so that's my introduction, so there you go. If you'd like to turn with me now to Exodus 33, and I'm going to read it, and I'm going to give you a context and introduction, and then I'm going to explain to you what I believe through this the Lord is speaking to us in light of God's presence and prayer. So that's Exodus 33, and I'm going to read it through to the end. So we'll finish in Revelations in about So anyway, if we start from Exodus 33, and I'll read as long as you can keep up with me. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Leave this place, you and your people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, saying, I will give it to you, your descendants. I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey. But I will not go with you because you are a stiff-necked people and I might destroy you on the way.' When the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn, and no one put on any ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, 'Tell the Israelites, you are stiff-necked people. If I were to go with you, even for a moment, I might destroy you. And I'll take off your ornaments, and I will decide what to do with you.' So the Israelites stripped off the ornaments at Mount Horeb." And then it says the tent of meeting. "Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance to their tent, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave this tent. Moses said to the Lord, 'You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know where you will send me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your way, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people.' The Lord replied, 'My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.' Then Moses said to him, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not send us out of here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?' And the Lord said to Moses, 'I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name.' Then Moses said, 'Now show me your glory.' And the Lord said, 'I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I'll proclaim my name, the name in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I'll put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I've passed by. Then I'll remove you, my hand, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. So let's just take a moment just to pray now. Lord Jesus, we just ask you to lead us again. We ask you to lead us towards your promises, as you said to Moses, you're going to lead him towards the place of promise. And Lord, I thank you for his aide, Joshua, who was by his side in that place of encounter. And he was there who wanted to hear your very words. And Lord, I thank you that Joshua didn't get bogged down by committees, because he knew where he was going, because you had shown him. And that you too will show your people together where you're leading us to. So we just pray right now, Lord, that you would give us fresh revelation, a fresh burden, Lord, to pray in your promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so I just want to put a little bit of context of this situation where Moses is in verse 33. So what happened prior to Moses, what I've just read out to you? Moses had previously, he'd gone up to the mountain of the Lord, and God had called him to the mountain. He called him to meet up with him. And while God was up in the mountain with Moses, the Lord revealed to him his commandments and the law. And that's the first time that had happened. But while Moses up in the mountain, the people became impatient, because he'd sort of gone up the mountain about 40 days later. He was still up there. And the people were thinking, where's Moses? Where's he gone? What's going on? All that sort of stuff. But what had happened is that while he was up there, they became impatient and they forgot about God. And it's easy to do, isn't it? We become very impatient sometimes with God. Why don't you do this? Why do you do that? And we forget about what he's done for us, don't we? And you see, the people had recently been delivered from the bondage of Egypt. They've been set free. They've been brought out of a land where they had been crushed and brutalized by the Egyptian nation. They'd been promised a future and a hope. They'd been promised the promised land, which would be flowing with milk and honey. And Moses was called up to the mountain. The promises hadn't changed, but he'd been gone away for a period of time. And so they began to forget God and what he had done for them. And so what do? They reverted back to their old ways. They reverted back to the time they're in Egypt, where they followed the gods of Egypt. And they fashioned for themselves the golden calf. And this golden calf was put right in the center of the people. And they were dancing around it. They were going back to their old practices in Egypt. They were drinking and reveling and having orgies, all sorts of things, which God had freed them from. And they're going back to the bondage in which they've been set free. And so Moses comes down the mountain after encountering the Lord, expecting to share with the people the wonder of God. But instead he caught them dancing around a fire, reveling, going back to the days of Egypt, dancing around a false idol, and he was absolutely livid. And the promises of God to his people, which had been written on tablets, he picked up and smashed upon the ground. And in great anger, he said to Aaron, he says, why have you let these people go wild? And so Moses stood in the camp, and he called all the people forward, and he said this, he says, whoever is for the Lord, come to me. And so a large number of the people went towards Moses. But there are about 3,000 people who decided they were quite happy reverting to their old ways. And in that, the Lord brought his punishment, and they were destroyed by the Levites. But that's never God's intention, is it? And so what had happened is the promises that God had for the nation had suddenly, the sin of the people had come right into the center of the nation. And so Moses goes before the Lord. He says this, oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold, but now please forgive their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book you have written. The Lord replied to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. Now go lead the people to the place I spoke of, and my angel will go before you. However, when the time comes for me to punish, I will punish them for their sin. And the Lord struck the people with a plague because of what they did with the calf Aaron had made. And I think the wonderful thing about Moses is that he was a real man with the people's, he had the real heart of the people in his heart. He really loved the people. He had a great concern for his people. And even though they had strayed away, his prayer was, God, have mercy upon the people you've given me. And so he cried out to God, and he even put himself in a position saying this, oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold. But now please forgive their sin. But if you're unwilling to forgive their sin, please blot me too. Please don't, if you're not going to forgive their sin, don't forgive my sin. Destroy me as well. Because he's a man who just loved the people that God had given him. But God's mercy stepped in, as God's mercy does. And he says this. He goes, the Lord replied, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. Now go, lead the people to the place of which I spoke. And so the people had been captivated by Egypt. They had seen God's judgment. And they are thinking, oh my gosh, what do? Where do we go? And there's a real wake-up call to them. There's a real sense of how close sin is to each one of us. But God's grace came in and intervened and brought them to a place of forgiveness. And the Lord says, well, continue then towards the place which I've set before you, which is the promised land. It says, leave this place, you and your people. It says, leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'll give it to your descendants. I will send an angel before you and drive out the different tribes and different nations. And go up to the land flowing with milk and honey. But I will not go with you because you are stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way. And you see, God was still angry with the people. God had forgiven his people, but God wasn't willing to be at the center of their community. And so what he does, he says, I will send an angel ahead of you to lead you into the promised land, but I will not go with you. And these very words, that God would not go with the people, really cut to the core, because God had delivered the people. They thought, how on earth are we going to go to the promised land without God? And so what's their response? When the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn, and no one put on any ornaments. For the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites you are stiff-necked people. If I were to go with you even for a moment, I might destroy you. And so the people's response to the fact that God was not going to go with them was a repentance. They were cut to the core that the God of their nation would not consider going with them anymore. He would send an angel, but would not come with himself. And so the people repented. The people took off their flashy ornaments, the things that distinguished themselves, and became nothing, and came before the Lord. And then it said this. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance to their tents and watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of the cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. And you see, the tent of meeting was placed outside the city. You could inquire of the Lord only outside the city. The Lord at this time was not in the center of where the people were. And so Moses pitched a tent out, and he would go out to the end of the city, and there he would meet with God. And it's when Moses went out towards his tent, people began to ask Moses, can you inquire to the Lord on my behalf? Can you speak to the God on my behalf? Can you speak? Can you ask him what God has for me? Can you ask God what he has for my family? Can you ask God what my future is? Can you ask God to be with me when I'm going through this hard time? Because suddenly, there are people who wanted to inquire of the Lord. Suddenly, there are people who are beginning to realize that old ways of Egypt were not going to lead them into the promised land. Instead of following the old ways they'd learned over many years, they're beginning to say, we need to listen to God. We need to seek the face of the Lord. We need to now hear from God why us we'll never get to the promised land. And so the people, when Moses went towards his tent, they all suddenly stood by the tent door looking. Can you imagine that? Moses out towards the tent, they're going, he's off to cry out to the Lord. And they're all standing by their tents, looking, watching, standing, waiting, knowing that he's going to inquire of the Lord, that he was going to hear the very words of life that they needed to hear. It's a very different way, isn't it, when suddenly people come out of their houses to listen to what God has to say. And what happens is, which I want to make a very clear connection here, it says this, as Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend, and the Lord would speak to Moses. But whenever the pillar of cloud stood at the entrance, the people worshipped each at the entrance of his tent. You see, there's a connection between worship and God speaking to his people. And so when we're going to meet together in that evening called the gathering, we're going to worship together, because it's out of worship that God releases his word. It's out of worship that God stirs up his people. It's out of worship that he releases what he's going to do. Why? Because we put God first. When we put God first, when we listen to him, when we learn his ways and walk in his paths, of course he's going to speak to his people. Of course he's going to lead us. Of course he's going to guide us. Of course he's going to show us his ways. And you see, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. And I'm going to go on in a minute, and just as I begin to, is that Jesus has enabled us to speak face to face with God as a man speaks with his friend. I'm speculating, but I don't think we've taken hold of the gravity of what that means to us as a people. Because only Moses was allowed to inquire of the Lord on behalf of the people. Only he could hear the voice of the Lord and petition on behalf of the people. The people went to Moses, Moses went to God, God spoke to Moses, Moses spoke to his people. It was the most incredible thing in the nation. One person could go into the presence of God. But each one of us here is that one person in a community. Each one of us can go directly to the throne room of God to hear the very voice of God face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Why wouldn't we want to pray? Why wouldn't we want to pray and hear God's voice? And I titled this talk, The Privilege of God's Presence. We talk about prayer in such negative terms. Oh, it's so boring. Well, you haven't met the King. He is not boring. When you realise the absolute pleasure and privilege it is to meet God who created heaven and earth, it doesn't have to change perspectives. It's an absolute privilege. It's amazing that we're allowed to do this. We're even allowed to do it. Isn't that amazing? So come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, for he will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. And so as we continue, as I just begin to draw it to a conclusion, Moses, what I love about this next bit, is so bold before the Lord. Not because of his reputation, not because of who he was, but because he knew who God was. And he says this, which I think just blew me away when I was reading this. He says, you've been telling me, as he's talking to the Lord, It's like Q&A, but... and he says, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favour with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your way, so I may know you and continue to find favour with you. Remember that this nation is your people. And you see, God said, I'm not coming with you. God said, I'll send an angel in front of you, but I'm not coming with you. The people repented. And what did Moses say? You've got to come with us. You've got to come with us. Unless you come with us, what will distinguish us between any other nation? Unless you come with us, what will be different about us? Unless you come with us. And I bet the Lord just loved that. He almost set them up for it, didn't he? I love the Lord. He sets you up. Have you noticed that? He sets you up. You suddenly think, come on, come with us. He's coming with you anyway, but he wants to make sure you're coming with us. And he sets them up. And the Lord says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, he's again debating. This is what you can do in the presence of God. I don't know, but you can do these things. You don't have to. If you don't understand, you don't agree with him, tell the Lord. It's all right to do that. I've said some awful things to the Lord in his presence. And fortunately, he's gracious and kind, and I have apologised after because I've no right to speak like that. But he's allowed me to express myself, to get out my... It's all right to shout at the Lord. Do you think he's scared of us? Do you think he's worried about what we have to say? He goes, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us out from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. And then Moses said, now show me your glory. And what I love about it is, you see, when we pray, we're praying in God's presence. This is the same presence is that Moses encountered in the desert, the same presence as God revealed himself to his people in Israel. And so the great thing, when God's presence is among us, what does it say? God is with us. And when God's presence is with us, God reveals himself and his nature. He said this, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one can see my face and live. Then the Lord said, there's a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I'll remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. And you see, when God's presence comes, I put this, God's presence enables us to be God present within our community. So when God's presence enables us to be God present within our community, his presence enables us to be distinct from the community to which we serve. His presence enables us to be his light, his salt, and his hope towards the community that we serve. And the amazement is, because of what Jesus has done upon the cross, he's brought us into relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Together, we now have the privilege of God's presence. And I believe it's a time to pray. It's a time for us to learn afresh what God's ways are and to put it into practice. And in Acts 1, it says this. These are people waiting in a room, as Jesus had asked them to do in the end of Luke, to wait until God's power clothed them from power on high. What were they doing in that place? Do you know? They're waiting for God's presence. They're waiting for God's power. They're waiting for God, the name of the Lord, to be praised. And they were waiting for God to declare his name. He said this, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, is it not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority? But you will receive power, or God's presence, when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And you see, the promise is that God will send his power, God will send his presence, God will enable us to be distinct because of who he is and because of his reputation. But when we come into God's presence, he makes us like him. And you see, when we get into God's presence, he strips us away. We can no longer hide behind our veneer, our smiles, and what we present, because we become raw before the Lord. But it's great, it's the best place to be. Hiding is just, it just takes a lot longer. But to engage with God face to face as a friend, he transforms his people so that we can transform our community and transform the city and beyond. And so let's just pray. And Lord, I'm just so aware of that word that you said, without you, Lord, we can do nothing. And it's self-explanatory, that word. It says everything. And Lord, we're just sorry when we've been reliant on ourselves. We've been reliant on our own schemes and strategies. And we have not looked to your wisdom and to your revelation. Lord, we just pray that you will release your word afresh in this church. That you'll stir us up to read your word. You'll stir us up to understand your word. You'll stir us up to walk out your word. And Lord, we don't want to. We want to hear from your very mouth, Lord, what you have to say, Lord. We know you said many things to the church, Lord, and we know that your promises are true. We also know that your promises come true when we set aside time to spend with you. And Lord, we want to repent, Lord, of coming into to pray with an attitude of, oh my gosh, isn't this a pain? But Lord, what a privilege it is to pray to you, to spend time with you, that you would set aside time to be with us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to pray. Teach us how to pray, Lord. Release a burden of prayer in this church, Lord. We just pray you would call us to the mountain, Lord. Call us, Lord, I pray that the invitation to us, Lord, the invitation to gather together, the invitation to pray in the smaller groups, the invitation to pray in our families, the invitation to pray with friends, Lord, the invitation just to call upon your name, Lord. We want to take that seriously, Lord, and we want to ask you as we lead into the season of prayer, the season of engagement, the season of encounter, Lord, the season of meeting up with the living God, Lord. I pray that you would strip away those things which are not of you. And I pray, Lord, you would deposit your gold in this place, Lord. I pray you will uncap the well in this church, Lord, that your power will go out from us into this nation, Lord. We pray for those in our community, Lord, who are crying out for an answer, Lord, but do not know where to look. And Lord, I pray that your name will echo from this church, echo from us at work, Lord, from the workplaces, Lord. Lord, we want to stand with those here, Lord, who are in their work. Lord, we want to, the Lord's been really speaking to me over the summer just to get people to share about their work, what they do at work, so we can pray for you, what it means to look after children, so that you can tell us, so that we can pray for you, what it means to get up in the morning when you've got such a high-pressure job, what it means when you've got a family screaming, what it means, all those things. Lord, we want to hear that in our church. We want to pray for your community, Lord, that we can be a community that hears the cries of your people in the church and outside the church. And so, Lord, we call upon the name of Jesus to inhabit this place afresh, this new season, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's just stand. Let's just have an opportunity now just to welcome the Lord afresh as we just want to keep welcoming God's presence. It's his presence that does... it transforms everything. And as God's people, I just want to almost, there's no rhymes and rules to it, but when you put your hands in front of you, it's almost like expectation of receiving something. And some of you might want to do it in your heart, but sometimes it's good to make an action, because it's saying, Lord, I want your presence. I want something from you. And so let's just put our hands out to the Lord. And Lord Jesus, we want to invite your Holy Spirit to come upon us, Lord. We want to invite your Spirit, Lord, to... we want more of you, Lord. We want more of your power, Lord. We don't want you to pass us by, Lord. We want you to come with us, Lord. In fact, we want to go with you. But Lord, we don't want to go anywhere unless you come with us, Lord. So Lord, we just welcome you now, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Come into this church afresh this season, Lord. Come, Jesus, into this place. We welcome you now. And we call out to you, Jesus. We call out. The people call out to you, Lord. Lord, forgive us, Lord, when we've become complacent, Lord. We want to call upon the name of Jesus, Lord. We want to call upon you, Lord. We want to call upon you. Lord, we want to access the door that you've opened us for us, Lord. We want to access that door, Lord, into the throne room, Lord. We want to access your ways, Lord. Teach us your ways, Lord, that we may walk in your paths, Lord. Lord, may we respond to the invitation, Lord, not just because we get one encounter with you on a Sunday, Lord, but may you speak to us day by day, Lord, through the watches of the night, Lord. Lord, in Lamentations, you talk about releasing the lament. Lord, it's particularly something that I know the Lord wants to release in the women, Lord, is that to pray for the children. It's to pray for the kids. It's to pray for those who are crying out for bread, who have none. And Lord, I just want to release, I just pray you release that now. I just pray now just for women now who are beginning to feel in their spirits that it's a real spirit of intercession. It's like a lament. It's something which women understand more than men, because it's about knowing what it's like to have a child within you. It's wanting the best for your child. It's wanting for them to be brought up in a world where it has a good future. And it's inextricably linked into this area here. It's a place of birth. It's a place of bringing forth. And I just really believe the Lord wants to release this morning afresh the burden of the lament, to call in on behalf of those who do not know where to find bread. Where to find bread, Lord. So I just want to encourage you, if women in the church who have got a particular burden this morning, just in their stomach, that sense of, I've got to call something in. I've got to call this in. If it doesn't happen, I'm just going to keep doing it until it comes in. So if that's you, come forward now, because we just want to release the prayer in the church today. We just want to uncap the well. We want to release in this place prayer like we've never prayed before in this place. Let it come, Lord. More of your power, Lord. More of your power, Lord. More of your power. More of your... Lord, release the burden of intercession, Lord. Release it in this place this morning, Lord. Release it. Release it, Lord. Nothing happens without prayer. Everything happens in a prelude to God moving with power. Nothing ever happens until God's people humble themselves and cry out to God. Nothing ever significant happens unless we pray. So, Lord, we call upon you now. So those who've got a burden of lament, come forward now so we can pray for you. And I believe it's out of your intercession you're going to release more. So if that's you, if you're particularly, if it's a woman, I'm not isolating you, but I just think that's a particular calling. So if that's you and you've got that burden in you, just come forward now so we can pray for you. More of you, Lord. More of your power, 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 more of your power, more of your power. More of your power, more of your power, Lord, more of your power, Lord, more of your power, Lord. So more of your power, Lord, more of your power, Lord. Say it, Lord. You're not yet, that's fine. This is why I weep and my eyes overflow with tears. No one is near to comfort me. No one is to restore my spirit. My children are destitute. because the enemy has prevailed. And so, Lord, we want the enemy to draw back. We want to push the boundaries of the enemy back, Lord. And Lord, we can only do it in the name of Jesus. Not one of us can do it. It's only in the name of Jesus, Lord. So more of your power, Lord. More of your power, Lord. More of your power, Lord. This is what it says in Lamentations. Arise, cry out in the night. As the watches of the night begin, pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands to Him for the lives of your children who faint from hunger at the head of every street.